The following audio is from Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Visit fbchurch.org/sermons for more.
Good morning, Faith Bible Church. It's great to be with you in this way, although I miss being with you in person physically, but I'm glad we can gather together this morning and look at God's Word together. My name is Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to read God's Word with you this morning and pray with you, and then let's look at this passage. So read with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 12. Our passage this morning is Luke 12, verses 13 through 21, and we're going to be looking at the dangerous deception of greed. Jesus is helping us to see how to be his followers here through this passage. So read with me in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, as we look at the deception and the danger of greed and how we can be God's people who are content and grateful and generous. So Luke 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you give us your word so that we can know you and follow you. And this morning, we are desperate for your Spirit's help. Help us to understand your word. Help us to hear your word as what it is, your very word from you, your breath. And change us. Make us a people that are content. Make us a people who are grateful and generous. A people who treasure you, our true treasure, who are not deceived by greed. God, we pray that you'd work in each of our hearts today in this issue. We pray for those who are feeling lonely this morning, are feeling discouraged, anxious, tired, fatigued, that you would strengthen them, encourage them through your word, through your presence. We pray that you would use us in each other's lives, even in the limited ways we're able to do that. Help us to love each other well. God, we pray for other churches around the city, that you would be working by your power to lift up your name, to help your people to worship you. And I pray especially for His Place Church out in Post Falls and our brothers and sisters out there, that you would work in their lives and help them. We pray for other churches all around the city, that you would help them to love you and to love each other. God, help us this morning. Speak to us by your word. We pray because of you, Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. All right, as we look at this issue of the dangerous deception of greed, I think about commercials. When you watch commercials, which most of us don't do anymore because Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, if you pay for the no ads version, don't make you watch commercials. But if you do watch commercials, there's always a danger that you might be deceived. For example, if you were watching the Super Bowl commercials this year, you might have been deceived into thinking that Cheetos and getting your fingers orangey and dirty would keep you from having to do unpleasant tasks. Kids, that's not true. Just because you eat Cheetos doesn't mean you're not going to have to do hard jobs. You also might have been deceived into thinking that eating Cool Ranch Doritos would give you amazing dance moves. If that were true, I would try it, but I know it's not. You might have been deceived into thinking that buying a Hyundai or a Jeep Gladiator would make your life as spectacular as some of your favorite movie stars. You might have been tricked into thinking that watching Hulu would make you as cool as Tom Brady, if you think he's cool. In the old days, cigarette commercials or beer commercials would have deceived you into thinking that smoking or drinking would make you more beautiful or more strong. All these deceptions have differing degrees of danger that they're promoting. Our culture and society actually work even more broadly and deeply to spread this idea that the good life, the American dream, consists of what you have, your possessions, your status, your popularity. This is the good life, says our culture. At the heart of this mindset is the most dangerous deception of all, that you can exchange God, the Creator, for the stuff He has created and be your own God. You can take God and replace him with this other stuff, and that is going to give you even more than you'd have with God. That's a horrible, dangerous deception. Paul describes this deception in Romans 1:25. He says, "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen." This danger, this deception is what Jesus is teaching against, what he's warning us about. Greed works on that heart level. Greed removes God from our focus and our worship and replaces him with the stuff that he's made. Greed says, if only I had more, then I would be happy. If only I had fill in the blank with whatever toy, possession, security, then I would be complete. To quote one of our elders here at Faith Bible Church, Jim Greenup, he said, "Greed reverses things and puts self in front of God." It puts self in front of God. When this happens, instead of being thankful to God and generous towards others, we just think about ourselves and we want more. When we're being driven by greed, we never have enough. No matter how much we get, we think we need more. We need more. And it's never enough. It's never enough. In Luke 12, Jesus has been teaching us that life does not consist of popularity. Rather, we are to fear God and trust God's care in our lives. This is necessary for the people of God, for the disciple of Jesus. This is how we fight hypocrisy. This is how we become true followers of Jesus, how we become his people. We follow Christ. We reject pursuing popularity, and instead we fear God. And now Jesus is showing us a second huge issue, not only popularity, but possessions. Life does not consist of what you have, your possessions. It's not about loving money. The follower of Christ, the people of God, are not characterized by loving stuff that God gives. Rather, we're characterized by contentment, by generosity, by gratitude. And Jesus is teaching the disciples, the crowd, the religious leaders, all of them, what this means, what it means to be rich toward God, to treasure God and his kingdom rather than treasuring money. The people of God seek God first. He's their first love. The possessions and the things of life are a matter of stewardship. And the people of God are able to live with contentment, not greed. So in our passage today, Jesus helps us to see the dangerous deception of greed. Let's let Jesus help us to realize again how dangerous and deceiving greed is. Greed tells us lies. Greed promises something that it can never deliver. It says you will be full, but you will be continually empty. Greed promises satisfaction, but gives you only longing. Greed promises a form of salvation, and rather delivers death. The worst is that greed actually seeks to remove God and replace him with the creation. Let's look at this dangerous deception of greed. Jesus gives us a real-life example to warn us, and then gives us a parable to warn us. In both the real-life example and the parable, we see the dangerous deception of greed. Let's observe these two vignettes. The first one is going to show us we should be on guard against every form of greed. It is dangerous. Be on guard. Be alert. Watch out. Avoid every form of greed. It is dangerous. Look at verse 13. In Luke chapter 12, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And then Jesus said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, against every form of greed. For one's life, even if he has an abundance, does not consist in the abundance of possessions." So Jesus was talking in chapter 11 to the Pharisees directly. Then beginning in chapter 12, he starts talking to a large crowd, but then talking to his disciples within that crowd. And now we see him talking with someone from the crowd. Luke brings this conversation up because the issue Jesus is addressing, this issue of greed, of possessions, of our treasure, is vital for the salvation of the Pharisees with their hypocrisy. It's vital for the crowd to be saved, and it's vital for the maturing of the disciples. And the situation in the crowd here is that somebody in the crowd comes to Jesus and says, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now you might just think, well, from our modern perspective, that sounds fair enough. This guy just wants some equity. We need some good probate, some good administration of the will. There, you might think this is just an issue of justice and love of your neighbor. Well, no, not exactly. You see, the inheritance with ancient Israel, it was a little different. The inheritance usually went almost entirely or entirely to the oldest brother, and then he would care for the family, the younger siblings from that. if they kept dividing it up over generation and generation, eventually each portion would be so small they couldn't actually provide with the farm, with the agrarian situation that they would be giving in that inheritance. In reality, this man coming to Jesus had probably already received what he was supposed to receive. He had enough. He was provided for. What he wanted was more possessions. He was being greedy, selfish, as we see the way Jesus talks to him in verse 15. We know that his issue was not, I don't have enough. His issue was he was being greedy. He wanted what someone else had. He wasn't content with what God had provided for him. He's basically asking Jesus to do him a favor, to help him out, so he can realize his dream of getting more stuff. And Jesus' response is curious in verse 14. He says, "Look, buddy, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" In reality, we know that Jesus is the ultimate judge. As God the Father is the judge, he appoints Jesus as the judge of the earth. And Jesus even talks about this final judgment in chapter 12 later on, saying we should live in light of that judgment that's coming. But here Jesus is saying, "I'm not your small claims court judge. I'm here to be your savior. I'm not here to be your genie in a bottle to give you what you want to fulfill your small dream. I'm here to rescue you from that idolatry and bring you to something greater, to myself." He's saying, "I'm not here to be your Judge Judy. I'm here to be the King of Kings." This matter of this man wanting more from the inheritance was not Jesus' mission or purpose. Jesus' mission and purpose was to save this man and all of humanity from our sin, from our idolatry, from making life about what we can get rather than about him. And so he shows us in this next verse that very purpose that he has to save this man and all who would trust in him. Jesus says in verse 15, "Take care, look out, beware. Be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Verse 15 in the New American Standard Version is translated like this: "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of possessions." Be on your guard against greed. Jesus is saying, danger, danger, look out. Greed takes many forms and it's dangerous, it's insidious. Your life does not consist of having a lot of stuff. The sinful human heart has this dangerous tendency, this like a black hole pulling us to make the creation, God's gifts, our idol, our God, our Savior, rather than God himself. We put self in front of God and serve and worship ourselves and our stuff instead of God. Jesus is telling us about this danger, saying, look out for greed, for covetousness. Let's unpack that a little bit more. He first says, be on guard. This means to avoid, to look out for, to take serious measures to avoid something. This is hypervigilance and care. Some of you right now, because you're higher at a higher risk, are having to take this kind of care against COVID-19. You're being very careful to not be exposed to it by not going out in public or by using personal protective equipment. But this danger of greed goes far beyond COVID-19, which can only kill the body, worst case scenario. Greed is far more serious in the long term. This idolatry that greed is, can destroy our souls forever and separate us from God forever if we aren't forgiven by Christ, if we haven't trusted in him. And so he says, look out, be on guard against every form of greed. What is greed or covetousness? One dictionary describes it like this: it's a strong desire to acquire more and more material possessions or to possess more things than other people that other people have, all irrespective of your need. It's the state of desiring to have more than one's due. It's wanting what you don't have, and then what you do have, not wanting to share it. It's this idolatry that Colossians 3:5 describes. Greed is idolatry. It's taking God, removing him from his rightful place, and putting the stuff that he's made where God deserves to be, where God is worthy of being. Greed is not believing that God is good and he will provide us with enough, that what he's given me is enough, that he is enough for me. Greed is the opposite of contentment. Contentment is believing that God is good and I'm trusting him that he will take care of me. Greed is rejecting this idea of God being good enough and thinking that I have to have more. I need more. We see in Jesus' statement a further definition. Greed is thinking that your life consists in having an abundance of possessions. That word life there is not the word for biological life, but rather is Zoe is the word. It's ultimate life, life with God, the life that God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit share. That is Zoe. That's life. That's the real thing. When people say get a life, that's what they would mean if they knew what they were talking about. Greed is dangerous because it believes that having more stuff will give us the ultimate fulfillment and meaning and purpose in life that only God can give us. Jesus teaches us that true life comes from following Him, from denying ourselves, and loving others as we follow Him. We lose our lives, and we gain them with Christ. We're willing to die for the sake of Christ, and then we truly live. We're willing to give up all of our possessions for the sake of Christ, and we gain eternal treasures. True life is living as God's steward, seeing that everything is from Him. He owns it all. It belongs to Him, and I'm His steward, His child, and He's given me these things to use for His glory, being generous, being grateful, being content. This greed can take so many forms. Jesus says, watch out for every form. Obviously, there's this form here of this man wanting more of the inheritance. His brother has been given a larger portion or all of the inheritance, and he's being provided for, but he's not content. He wants more. It can look like a continual pursuit of more wealth that leads someone to abandon their family, to abandon God for the sake of pursuing their career. Greed can be that continual pursuit of buying more stuff with my credit card instead of following my budget and saving and using what God's given me. Greed can be that insatiable desire for more food, even though I've eaten enough and I'm not thankful and I just want more. Greed is what makes us think, if only I got a nicer car, if only I had a nicer house, if only I had a thinner or more muscular body, if only, if only, if only. And the human heart is never content with all these things. If only I had that new toy, that next video game, that better phone, that cooler pair of shoes. Listen to Ecclesiastes 5:10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity. The human heart is never content. If what we set our hearts on is getting more stuff, then that is a vicious, never-ending pursuit that never, never ends. If we put our hearts on God and make God our treasure, then we are filled with Him no matter what we have. We can be content. But if we make our pursuit stuff and make our life about getting more stuff, then we'll never be content. It'll never be enough. And this is dangerous. Jesus says, watch out. Avoid every form of greed because it cannot give you life. It can only give you death. The wages of sin is death. Greed, thinking I must have more than God has given me of whatever, is at the heart of rejecting the Creator and worshiping the creation. It can result in death if this is your settled disposition. If you think that what will make you complete and give you life is getting more stuff, if that's your view on life and you've rejected Christ as the one who makes you complete and gives you life, then you will be facing eternal death away from God forever. Hear this, friend. Look to Christ. He is the only human being who came and has lived a perfect life, giving thanks to God for all things, always being content, always being generous and loving his neighbor. And he died in your place and my place for that sin of our greed, of our idolatry, of rejecting God. And his death, and now his resurrection, he's risen from the dead. He can forgive you if you look to him. He can fill you, make you complete. He is the solution, the answer to our problem of greed. Look to him. Trust in him. Be filled with him. He's more than enough for you, for me. If you have trusted in Christ, you know that he is the one who gives life. Hear again from Jesus this warning. Be on your guard against every form of greed. How can you begin to be pulled again by the black hole of greed and by wanting more? Ask a good friend, ask your spouse, are there ways that my life is characterized by wanting more stuff and not being content? Ask God to help you to believe that he's enough. Look to Christ in the gospel and find help in seeing God's goodness clearly. This man in the crowd was in danger of being destroyed by greed. What about you? How do you see greed in your life? I personally can see greed in my life in many different ways. Every time I enjoy food or drink and I just want more, more, and I'm not thankful to God. I'm not saying, God, thank you for this good gift that I'm tasting right now. I'm being pulled by greed. Every time I'm tempted just to buy that next thing that I want to kind of make me feel that happy feel I get from buying the next thing, but I'm not following my budget and I'm not using the money I currently have, I'm being pulled by greed. When I daydream about, if only I could make this thing better in my house, or if only if I could improve this other thing that I have, then I'm being led by greed sometimes. When I'm replacing God with his creation, worshiping myself and my stuff instead of God, I'm being led by greed. We need to be on guard against greed. How does greed pull on you? What's one way that you're tempted by greed? Listen to Jim Greenup, one of our elders, again. Advice on how we can avoid greed. Be prudent and persistent in giving patterns. And that keeps our eyes focused on the Lord. A life that demonstrates consistent generosity, faithful generosity, is how you guard against greed. Jim talks about regular, proportional, sacrificial giving. That is how one way that God's given us to really fight against greed and pursue faithful stewardship under Him. Contentment to Him, with Him, thankfulness to God for who He is. Does your life have a regular pattern of generosity, of giving to God, giving to the church, giving to missions, giving to the needy? If your life has that, that's going to help guard against greed. So, Jesus doesn't just warn us about this danger of greed. He tells us this parable, this story, that illustrates the deceptive message of greed. Let's look at this parable in the next part of the passage and understand the ugly underbelly of greed. Just as greed is a dangerous black hole, it's also a deceptive scam. It's a scam artist. Do not be deceived. Our second point, do not be deceived. The fool lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Do not be deceived. The fool lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Look at Luke 12, 16 through 21. Jesus tells this story, as he often does, to help them understand the problem of greed and the danger of it. He says, and he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, this man, he was blessed with an abundance of things. This man in the story, his crop came in bountifully. He had way more than he needed. And his first thought is, what should I do? He doesn't think I should share with the widow, with the orphan, with the stranger, with the alien, with the needy. His thought is, I'm going to make a bigger barn and keep this for myself. This is all for me. Now I get to take it easy, live the good life, relax. I can eat, drink, and be merry. He thinks that this treasure for himself, all about him, not about God, not about others, is the good life. That's the good life. And when you think about our version of the good life in America, we're tempted to think the same way, right? What is the ultimate good life? What is it that we strive after? You know, we get good grades, go to college, do all this. What is our version of the good life? Those are good things to do, but why do we do them? What is our end goal? What's the end game? People think, perhaps, get as big of a house as possible, with as big of a garage as possible, with as big of a shed or a shop as possible, with as many toys as you can possibly get in them, and as nice of those toys as you can get in them. And then retire as early as you can and spend your time taking it easy, relaxing, eating, drinking, and being merry. Now, these things in and of themselves might be okay or they might not be okay, depending on your heart attitude towards them and your obedience to God as a steward. The thing that's missing from this whole equation is God. This man has himself, his possessions, and it's all about him. There's no God in the front of that he's serving. And that's why he's being foolish. Jesus says, you fool, the treasures you've laid up for yourself will go to someone else. What will you have? He doesn't have anything between him and God. It's just him and his stuff. And so he's used all these treasures for himself, not as a steward who saw them belonging to God. He hasn't laid up treasures in heaven by being generous with the poor. He hasn't been grateful to God. He's wasted his life by living for the accumulation of more stuff, without regard to seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Like Jesus says later, you can't serve God and wealth. You're either serving money or you're serving God. You either live for God's purposes and God's kingdom, or you live for yourself and your kingdom. So, this man was a fool. He was short-sighted. He believed the wrong message. He bought into a scam, and it's taken everything from him, and now he's got nothing. So, how can we be rich toward God? What should our attitude towards God be, and what should our attitude towards our stuff and possessions be? Throughout this book of Luke, he's helping us to see what Jesus says about possessions, about money, about our treasure. In Luke chapter 3, when John the Baptist is preaching after people are being baptized, he's saying, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And this is what that fruit looks like. This is what a life of faith in Christ and repentance towards him looks like. Verse 11 of chapter 3, Luke says, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Whoever has food is to do likewise. The heart of repentance shares the extra. If I've got an extra tunic, I share with you who needs one. If I have extra food, I share with you who needs food. That is the heart of a follower of Christ. The people of God are generous. We see in Luke 5:11, the disciples, James, John, Peter, and Andrew, they left everything to follow Jesus. They value Jesus more than all this stuff they had. Now, you following Jesus may not look like you're leaving all of your earthly possessions, but certainly your allegiance needs to be to him, not to those possessions. And you need to be willing to leave them. I need to be willing to leave them, if that's what following him means. So, and then in chapter 6, verse 38, Luke tells us what Jesus said in his sermon about what attitudes and values characterize those in his kingdom. He says in 6:38, Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Okay, he's talking about God's generosity, giving to others, giving to your enemies, giving to those who need, being merciful as your Father is merciful. Jesus talks about following him in Luke 9. He talks about denying yourself. This vision of the good life that Jesus is giving us is one of denying yourself, even being willing to die, giving up all your possessions if necessary, to follow him. He is the vision of the good life that God wants us to have. The good life is being with God, knowing Christ better and better, living as his follower, as his disciple, making him known. Not only does Christ call us as his followers to be generous with our possessions, trusting God's goodness and care, he calls us to be even willing to give up our lives to follow him, because our treasure is him. That's what it means to be rich toward God. Your relationship with God is what is enough in your life. It's what fills you. He fills you. Knowing him, knowing that he promises you life everlasting with him as his people, living with him in the new heavens and the new earth, where he reigns and his righteousness reigns forever. That is what we look forward to. What does all this mean for us as Americans who are relatively speaking very, very wealthy compared to the rest of the world? What should our attitude towards our possessions be? We cannot come up with a mandate from this passage saying we all need to be monks and own nothing. But we also shouldn't comfort ourselves by saying, well, this just means I need to love Jesus a little bit more than my stuff, but I can still love all my stuff. This is not true. We can't use this passage to comfort ourselves and to find comfort in our greed, in our focus on getting more material wealth. It's not just that we need to try to love Jesus a little bit more. Rather, we need to be asking ourselves the question, what is my heart longing for? What is it that I want the most? What is my vision of the good life? What is the goal of my life? Is it knowing God and loving him with all my heart, soul, and mind, and loving my neighbor as myself so they can know God? Is it being a steward of God who owns all things and using the things he gives me, the life, the resources, the skills, the job, the possessions for him? Is that my vision of the good life? Is that what I long for? Or do I just want more toys, more distractions? Do I just want my life to be filled with these things that will keep me from serving God? Fill my life with things that God's given me, but I'm just seeing them as the thing instead of God. What is it that I'm pursuing? I need my imagination, my view of the good life, to be renewed continually by God in his word. I need scripture to show me where it is that we're heading. We're heading for the return of Christ, his reign for 1,000 years on the earth. Then the doing away of this heaven and this earth, and the new heavens and the new earth coming, where we live forever as God's people on the earth, serving him. And he's provided abundantly for us in all those settings. And none of that is dependent on how much we accumulate now. Right now, what matters is knowing him, being a faithful steward of what he gives me and you, so that he is glorified by that. By our contentment, we can show others that what really matters is not how much stuff I have, but the God that I know and the stuff that he gives me. It's just a means of serving him. It's a way that I can be a steward of him. Jesus says in Luke 14:33, none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his possessions. We need to be willing to give up those things, to give them back to God, because they really are his, and to follow him. What is our attitude? Are we rich toward God, or do we think that somehow having all this stuff is going to make our lives great? Are we laying up treasures for ourselves, or are we laying up treasures with God? Listen to some of the things Jesus says later in this, the passage that Paul is going to preach next week, in the next section in Luke 12. We see that God cares for his people. He cares for the little animals, he cares for plants, and he cares so much more for his people. And that's why we can make God our treasure. We don't have to focus on or obsess about getting more things. We can trust his care for us and make him our treasure. And then he says in chapter 12, verse 31, instead seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. So how are we rich toward God? We seek his kingdom. We seek his rule in the church, in our lives, in the world, by submitting to his word, by submitting to Christ as our Lord. That's how we're rich toward God. We seek to be generous and love others. He says that it's his good pleasure to care for us. He says in verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide for yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, and with treasure in the heavens that does not fail. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We'll talk more about that next week, but we can be rich toward God by being generous towards others, being grateful to God, being content, and being generous, giving. Like Jim Greenup said, regular patterns of giving are how we guard against greed. Pursue regular, faithful, proportionate, sacrificial generosity and gratefulness, thankfulness, giving thanks to God. He's enough. We can be content with him. We don't have to build bigger barns. We can strategize for how to use everything he's given us for his purposes, for his kingdom, for his glory, for his name to be made known throughout the earth. So I encourage you, brother or sister, identify greed in your life and root it out. Repent of it. What is one way that you see greed in your life? Come up with a plan to be grateful, to pursue gratitude towards God, and to pursue generosity towards others, to fight against that greed. And let's pray for each other that we could, in the power of the Spirit, trusting in Christ, because of how good our Father is, lay aside greed and put on gratitude and generosity. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. You are a gracious and good Father. You provide for us abundantly and richly. We have all that we need in you, Christ. Help us to believe that. Help us to pursue your vision of the good life, your goal for us of knowing you and loving others. I pray that you would help us each to be avoiding greed, which is dangerous and deceptive, and that we wouldn't believe that our life is about getting more stuff, but we would believe that our life is about loving you, being rich toward you, being generous and grateful. Thank you, God, for your faithful work in our lives. Thank you for Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Faith Bible Church. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us online at fbchurch.org for more sermons, articles, and other resources, as well as information about our ministries.